Amen. Our text tonight is Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22, we begin talking about Balaam. Now, that's not how it's pronounced in Hebrew, but we're so used to saying Balaam, I'm going to keep saying Balaam. It's awkward to me to pronounce. I always look the names up in the way it's pronounced in Hebrew. I want to honor their name, but sometimes they're hard to pronounce the way they did. Anyway, talking about Balaam, we know who that is. Okay. Ever hear this quotation? Everything is for sale if the price is right. So you own a house that's worth $100,000 and someone offers you $10 million for it. Would you take it? How many of you like to wash dishes? Oh, a couple of you do like to wash dishes. Well, for the rest of you, what if someone offered you $250,000 a year to wash dishes? Would you take the job? One. You believe the Bible to be true. Suppose you are offered an opportunity to open a session of Congress. The stipulation is you can read from the Bible, but you must also read from the Quran, and you cannot mention the name Jesus. Would you compromise your convictions in order to have the prestige of opening a session of Congress? In other words, are your beliefs and your loyalty to God for sale if the price is right? Two main characters tonight, and we're going to talk about this matter of loyalty to God on the part of Balaam, but first we're going to talk about Balak. And that's beginning in verse 1. The children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw that Israel had done to the Amorites. That's a little awkward English for us. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, "Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. So Balak is the king of the Moabites. Moab was one of the sons of Lot to his daughters. Remember that horrific event in which his two daughters each had a son by him? Ammon was the other. The Moabites and the Ammonites are the descendants of Lot. And the Moabites are afraid of the Israelites because they had heard what happened to the Amorites, which is an entirely different group. And he declared, "They shall lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass." Did you know an ox can eat 50 pounds of grass in one day? That's a lot of grass. That's why you have to have a big field for each cow or ox or steer. I was surprised when I looked that up one time. How big of a field do you have to have for each animal? It's a considerable space. So, Balak is the king of Moabites, and they're afraid of the Israelites. So, Balaam, verse 5. He, that is Balak, sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor. Now, Pethor, or Pethor, is a town in Mesopotamia. That's not part of the land, the promised land, is it? No, that's way up north. Verse 7 says, over in chapter 23, verse 7. Numbers chapter 23, verse 7. He took up this parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come curse me, Jacob, and come defy Israel. So in that verse, he says he brought me from Aram. Aram is also in Mesopotamia. And Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 4 says, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. So there's clarification. Balaam's from Mesopotamia. He is a Gentile. You know how I like to illustrate Gentiles, because they ate pork and the Israelites didn't. He's not even of one of the tribes that might be related to Israel, like the Moabites and the Ammonites, descendants of Lot, who was the nephew of Abraham, nor of the Edomites that were descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob. The Mesopotamians at this time consisted of several inferior tribes. That is, there was no major tribe in Mesopotamia that had widespread control. Each had its own little prince, and Balaam was probably from one of these little tribes. He's definitely not an Israelite. In fact, go over to Joshua chapter 13 and verse 22. Joshua chapter 13, verse 22. Balaam, also the son of Beor, the soothsayer. That's interesting. He's referred to as a soothsayer. What is a soothsayer? A soothsayer is a diviner. You'll see that term in other places, same Strong's number, soothsayer, diviner. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Drop down to verse 14. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners, soothsayers. And notice the company that soothsayers keep. Verse 10. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Ooh, that's quite a crowd, isn't it? And over in Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, it tells us that these diviners, they're called prophets, but they divine. Prophets who divine for money. Oh, that's what they're interested in. Money. They'll tell your fortune. That's what they'll do. They're fortune tellers. and they'll do it for money. So Balak seeks to hire Balaam, the soothsayer, verse 5 of Numbers chapter 22. We'll go back to Numbers chapter 22 and verse 5 again. Balak sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou curses is cursed. It appears that Balaam has a reputation. So Balak says, I wot. You ever use that word? W-O-T, I wot. When's the last time you used that word? It's actually the intransitive form of to know. How about that? Intransitive means it has no direct object. And so it's the intransitive form of to know or to be aware of. So Balak was aware of Balaam's reputation. I what? I am aware of. And Balaam, according to that reputation, had some success. Those who he blessed were actually blessed. And those who he cursed were actually cursed. So Balak wants to hire Balaam to curse Israel because he was afraid of Israel, and he's convinced that Balaam has the power to do that. So in verse 7 of Numbers chapter 22, the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination. Remember Micah chapter 3? What do they divine for? Money. So they're bringing payment. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. Oh, by the way, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15 says, that there are some who follow the way of Balaam who love the wages of unrighteousness. If the price is right. Now, we don't know how much Balak offered Balaam at this time, but it must have been substantial. It's coming from a king. So Balaam entertains the idea, but this is an interesting element to the whole situation. Balaam is a diviner, and he's a Gentile, but he is acquainted with God. That's interesting. Go over to that Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, and look at it. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 11. I'm sorry, it's not Malachi, it's Micah. Starts with the letter M. You have Micah in your notes, don't you? Yeah, I know. Oh, my. Micah chapter 3, verse 11. That looks a little more like it. I think. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets therefore divine for money, yet what? Will they lean upon the Lord? Now, isn't that interesting? The prophets divine for money, yet they lean upon the Lord. So here is Balaam, who is a soothsayer. He's a diviner. He tells fortunes, but he's acquainted with God. And so he says to these people that are offering him money to curse Israel, I'm going to lean on God. Numbers chapter 22, verse 8. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. What do you think God said? That's easy. Verse 12, God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. So Balaam turned them down. He did. Verse 13, Balaam rose up in the morning, said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Balak didn't give up. So in verse 15, Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. Now he's sending the big guys. The important people. Verse 16, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. In fact, verse 17, don't even let God hinder you. Verse 17, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. So Balak raised the offer. He sent men with greater honor to persuade him. He offered him more money this time. He offered him great honor this time, and he offered him a blank check. Did you ever get one of those? Wouldn't that be fun? Here's a check, I signed it, you fill in the amount. Well, you see what he said? I will do whatsoever thou sayest. Whatever you want, you got it. Now, Balaam claims that no price will convince him to be disloyal to God. Verse 18. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Whatever God says, that's what I have to do. So he says, let me ask God again. Verse 19, now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. So just wait and... wait a minute. God already told him not to go. Do you think God's going to change his mind this time? Verse 20. God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, now listen very carefully to what God says. Very carefully. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shall I do. Let me read it one more time. Listen very carefully. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shall you do. Verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. What's missing? They didn't call him. What did God say? If they call you, go with them. In fact, it says he went with the princes of Moab, but they apparently went out ahead. And when he comes on the road, we're going to find out that it's just him and his donkey and his two servants. These men did not call Balaam. What did God say? If they call you, you go. There's no record of them calling him. That's crucial because watch what happens next. Verse 22, God's anger was kindled because he went. Now, wait a minute. People would say, you know, this is odd. God told him he could go, and now he's angry because he went. What was God angry about? He did not follow specific instructions. If they call you, you can go. They didn't call him. He went anyway. God said, you did not precisely obey my word. Balaam simply got up and went. In fact, according to what follows in verse 22, it says, now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And it doesn't say anything about the men from Moab being with him. And in what follows next, it's obvious the men of Moab are not with him. Now, I know it says he went with them, in a verse or two before, but I think they left, and he's following, trying to catch up with them. And it's just him and his two servants and his donkey. And because he did not precisely obey every instruction, God was angry with him. God is very precise in his word. When we read the Bible, we must understand every single word is important. There are some people who believe that the general concepts is what consists of the word of God. And that's why a lot of people are not very careful in their translation of the Bible. Because they say the words are not important, it's the meaning of the general sense of what's being said. No, no, no. Every word God chose, and every word of his instruction is precise. So, Balaam is kind of going along. He's riding a donkey. His two servants are with him. And suddenly, in verse 22, the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the angel of the Lord blocked the path so completely that the donkey went out into a field. Verse 23, the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. It's interesting, by the way, that the angel was wielding a sword. Isn't that interesting? And he had it drawn to intimidate the donkey. Verse 23 continues, so the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. He's angry with the donkey. Where are you going? We're supposed to be on the road. So he uses his whip. He whips the donkey. You know, they use that with horses. Whoever rides horses or ride donkey, I don't imagine he's hitting it very hard at this point, but he's trying to get the donkey to go where he wants it to go. But at this point, Balaam has not seen the angel. Only the donkey has. How does an angel do that? Isn't that interesting? That an angel can make himself known to an animal, but not to a human being. That's fascinating. Well, they get back on the path and they're going again. And so the angel blocks the path again, this time between two walls, verse 24. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. Now the donkey can't go into a field, so verse 25, when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. I imagine he hit her a little harder this time. What are you doing? The donkey began acting erratically, just thrusting him up against the wall. Balaam hasn't seen the angel, but the donkey can see the angel. The angel apparently gets out of the way. They continue on their way, and the angel blocks the path once again, this time in an even more narrow place. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. The only thing the donkey could do this time is just drop. Couldn't go into a field. Wasn't even really enough of room for him to smash up against the wall. So he just drops down. Well, this is too much for Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. Now, he's not using the whip. He's using a stick, and he's really beating this animal. And the Lord did an absolutely amazing thing. He opened the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? You know what's fascinating about this? Balaam doesn't seem to be surprised that the donkey's talking. He talks back. Verse 29, Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. Now, he's saying the donkey is mocking him because he's talking like him. He didn't hear what the donkey said. He just doesn't like that the donkey is talking. But he talks to the donkey. Verse 30, and the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden? Ever since I was thine unto this day, was I ever wont to do so unto thee? Have I ever done this before? You've ridden me lots and lots of times. We've been together a long time. Have I ever done this before? That's a pretty smart donkey. And he said, nay, no, you've never done this. He's still talking back to the donkey. I mean, that's as surprising to me as it is that the donkey talks. And then Finally, God let Balaam see the angel. Verse 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he, Balaam, bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Why is the angel making this so personal? Because the angel of the Lord is actually the Son of God. Would you go back to Genesis chapter 22, verse 11? There are numerous places I could demonstrate this, but just one. For tonight, Genesis chapter 22, verse 11. Abraham is in the process of sacrificing his son, and the angel stops him. In verse 11, it says, And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from whom? Me. And who's talking? The angel of the Lord. You know what the angel of the Lord is saying? I'm God. This is the Son of God. In Numbers chapter 22, the angel says to Balaam, verse 33, he says that the donkey has saved your life. The ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Wow. Not only is this donkey smart, this donkey is actually protecting his master by his actions. Wow. Verse 34, Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. For I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. I didn't know. I'm sorry. If you want me to go back, I'll go back. But the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam in verse 35, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. So the Son of God gave Balaam permission to go, with the condition that he only says what he tells him to say. Balaam was a double-minded man. He apparently understood who God was, and at least in a mechanical way understood he was under obligation to obey God. But he wanted this job because it paid well. He loosely interpreted God's word in order to take the job. He heard what God said, but he only took the part that suited him. God said, if the men call, go with the men. What Balaam did was take the words, go with the men, and forgot about if the men call. But Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus makes a profound statement. Of course, everything Jesus said was profound. But with regard to this situation, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. If you have a price for which you are willing to compromise your obedience to God, you cannot succeed in being loyal to him. If you have a price for which you are willing to compromise your obedience to God, you cannot succeed in being loyal to him. Is it money? Is it popularity? Is it the pleasure of this world? Is it the applause of people? What's your price? Don't sell your loyalty to God. It isn't worth it, no matter the price. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. There are things in this world that entice us. They want to draw us away from you. Help us to have a commitment in our hearts to obey you precisely, and not just take from your word what is convenient or suitable. Give us hearts that are willing to obey always in all things. And may there be never a price we are willing to accept, to compromise. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.